Grace and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Why are you here? What is it that you have come to seek? People seek Jesus for a multitude of reasons which depend entirely upon what they want from him. And this in turn reveals what it is they believe about him. And what they believe about Jesus determines whether they have him or not. Our gospel lesson is the beginning of a much larger discussion, one which ends with many who sought Jesus turning around and walking away from him. The reason is because they were not seeking Jesus for who he is. When they crossed the sea to seek Jesus, it was not because they recognized something divine within him when he performed the miracle of breaking the bread and fish. Instead, they were seeking him because he satisfied their bellies the night before, and they wanted more. When they had shown up for breakfast, Jesus was no longer there. So they crossed the sea to hunt him down. They were seeking him, all right, but they were seeking him for all the wrong reasons. They were not looking for Jesus himself, but for the food that he miraculously provided. They figured if they stuck with Jesus, they'd never go hungry again. But by doing so, they completely miss the point. For the miracles do not point to themselves as the ends, but they point past themselves as means. They point to who Jesus is and what he has come to do for us. Their bellies have become a hindrance to them receiving the truth, to them receiving Jesus, who is himself the true bread of life. What he came is to give is better than the bread that fills us and gives us life for but a moment and then passes away. For Jesus gives himself to us that he might fill us and give to us eternal life. So the issue of bread has become a stumbling block that must be removed if they are to see Jesus for who he is. That is why Jesus doesn't indulge their question once they find him. For answering them would have only provided yet another distraction. For even in the miracle of walking on the water, they would still remain blind in their ignorance and not see Jesus. So instead, he confronts their need by saying, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate to your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Jesus deals with their error head on, yet they still don't see it. Instead of inquiring what Jesus means by these words, they act like that sleazy criminal who, when his deception is made out, tries instead to work out a deal. They said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Their boldness to ask such a question continues to show their ignorance, as they do not understand the reason Jesus came. They want to know what they have to do to get Jesus to deliver the goods. Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent." This eternal bread, this bread of life, is given as a gift of grace by God to those who believe in the one whom the Father has given. There is nothing anyone can do to earn it. Jesus is clearly preaching that salvation is by grace alone. All they need to do is to believe in him. So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." They just don't give up, do they? They thought they were so sly, asking Jesus for a sign, but they really didn't care about a sign that points to Christ. No, he had already given them that. He already fed them in the wilderness. Instead, they are baiting Jesus. "You want us to believe in you? Do you remember when our fathers ate heavenly bread in the wilderness? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Give us the bread, Jesus." How obvious can they be? They do not care who Jesus is. They just want the bread. So Jesus brings the conversation back to who that bread is actually about. For even when the manna was given in the wilderness to the Israelites, it still points to Jesus. And what God has to offer them in Jesus is way better than a full stomach. Yet it is apparent that the crowds are disappointed with this answer as they end up walking away from our Lord. So why are you here? What is it that you have come to seek? Because what you have come to seek reveals what you believe about Jesus. And what you believe about Jesus determines whether you have him or not. Have you come to seek creaturely comforts as the Jews did in the day of Jesus? Have you come to have your fill, not of bread perhaps, but to be filled in another way? Have you come to feel emotionally closer to God, only to walk away disappointed because we didn't sing your favorite songs or the songs that we sang were too hard or unfamiliar? Have you come because you want to feel good about yourself, only to walk away disappointed because Pastor didn't give you an attaboy and pats you on the back, but instead he preached to you the law? Have you come to be entertained only to walk away disappointed because Pastor preached too long or he didn't tell enough witty stories in his sermon? Have you come to be intellectually stimulated only to walk away because Pastor didn't give you enough to think about or didn't play around enough with the words of Scripture? Jesus has come to do none of these things. Instead, he has come to offer you himself, that in him you may have eternal life. For he is the bread of life, and it is only through Jesus that salvation is found. He gives himself to you through the gifts that he has given the church, through his word and sacrament, and through the ministry that he has given to deliver those gifts to you. If you are unsatisfied with these gifts, then you are unsatisfied with the giver. If we seek Jesus outside these gifts, then we have neither the gifts nor the giver. And we will not find Jesus elsewhere. This is why what we believe about Jesus matters. This is why we, like Jesus, confront those who seek him for the wrong reasons. We should guard ourselves against false doctrine and teaching and warn our brothers and sisters to do the same. For there are many, many counterfeit breads out there. Many of those deep fried in oil and coated in sugar. But they are not life-giving and only leave you empty and worse off than before. Jesus alone is the bread of life. And he gives you himself by grace, and he is received through faith alone. If we allow ourselves to be deceived into false believing concerning Jesus, then we are no longer seeking Jesus, and therefore we no longer have him. For we no longer have the faith to see Jesus for who he is and the gifts that he has come to give. That is why Paul urges in the epistle today to walk in a manner that is worthy to the calling to which we have been called. For there is only one body of Christ and one Spirit. There is only one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all who is over all and through all and in all. False theology is not an innocent mistake, but it has the very real danger of placing us outside the only source of salvation. This is why we are called to bear with one another in love and patience, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. For it is not the one who holds to the truth that brings division to the body, but the one that brings falsehood and deceit. It is not the Spirit of God that leads people to believe what he himself has not revealed in Scripture, but it is the spirit of sin, of Satan, and of death. This is why Christ calls some to the ministry, to study, to learn, to digest that bread of life that he may in turn give you that very bread of life as well. Christ gives you those he calls to the offices of the church that they may guide you to the true bread of life, that you may be equipped for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. He has given them to you that is truth and doctrine that has been handed down from the prophets and the apostles through the evangelists and through pastors and through teachers up to this very day may be guarded and kept in its truth and purity. That we may all be united into that one body with the whole Christian church throughout time and space. That we may be united with them into that true faith, so that in all times and places, the knowledge of Christ, the Son of God, may be found. We are called to mature in this faith through these gifts of word and sacrament, so that we are no longer children tossed about by every wind and wave of doctrine and deceived as the Israelites were in the wilderness. They had forgotten what God had done for them, and instead they believed that they had it better in bondage and captivity, and that they believed they could eat and have their full around the fires. Instead, we are to put off deception. We are to mature and grow in the fullness of Jesus, for he alone is the bread of life. Israel was fed that bread, but they deluded themselves into thinking they had it better in slavery, in bondage. They said they would have eaten to their full, but we know the truth. We know the reality. We know how they had it in Egypt and why God came to deliver them. They would have continued to be subject to bondage, to slavery. They would have been lost. They would not have received the good food of which they dreamed. We know that we have the fullness of the eternal bread in Christ through the gifts that he has given the church. And do not let the devil lure you away with empty promises and false beliefs. Do not let him lure you away by promising you that he will give you all that you desire. Do not allow yourself to be caught in your own delusion, believing that what you desire is better than what Christ himself has come to offer. Why would we dream and long for being in bondage again? Why would we hold fast to the vanities of our own imaginations or to the whispers of the devil? Instead, put off false teaching, put off deception, and receive the bread of life, looking for him where he has promised to be, given and shed for you in his own word and sacrament. Yearn for this, digest this bread, for in it you have life and salvation. In it you have Christ, and where Christ is, there is life immortal. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in the true faith, in the bread of life, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.